back to the Cattle Menu podcast. I'm Caroline Rose, the founder and CEO of K Rose Company and Cattle Menu. Thank you for joining us on this episode. I'm excited to bring you these conversations each week filled with relatable advice and techniques you can take back to your operation. It's my mission to make sure that we can ranch in the next generation. Make sure and subscribe where you're listening so you never miss a new episode. Welcome to the Cattle Menu podcast. I'm your host, Caroline, and I am thrilled to have Amberly joining me today. Thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be on.
Why don't you start and just give us a little bit about your background and kind of how you're involved in agriculture?
Well, it's a little bit of a unique story on that. And I don't come from the normal agricultural family. My dad was a baseball player. My mom was a cheerleader. She had a horse when she was younger, but they didn't rodeo, or she didn't get to rodeo or anything like that. So kind of a crazy deal in the sense of it was really when I had an interest in horses that my family wanted to make it possible. So I started riding horses when I was 3, competing in rodeo when I was 7. And I would say that's where my agricultural background comes into place, is just with the love of horses and everything that comes along with that. It obviously grew as time went on when I got involved in the FFA organization and whatnot beyond that. But yeah, kind of a different background as far as it wasn't, you know, my great grandpa, my grandpa, you know, my dad than me. It wasn't passed down like that. But I'm thankful for the part of agriculture that I get to have now.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell a little bit about your story and kind of how you got to where you are today?
So to tell my story in a nutshell, I've loved horses my whole life. I, like I said, started riding at 3, rodeo at 7, was going through, the junior rodeo days and up into high school, had pretty lofty goals of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be next. And the year after I graduated, I was on my way to Denver, Colorado to work at the stock show when I was involved in a rollover truck accident where I was thrown from my truck, hit a fence post, broke my back, and injured my spinal cord. So all of these big dreams and goals and things that I thought I had figured out for my life changed in an instant. So from there, I had to start over, you know, not just in the agriculture part, not just in the horse part, you know, but in life as well, on how I was going to handle life in a wheelchair and what I could do now. So it took me 4 months to get back on a horse. It took me 18 months to get back to competing. I'm now the only professional paralyzed barrel racer in the United States, and I'm also a motivational speaker, and I guess that would probably be my whole life in a nutshell.
Okay, so let's look at this thing that I call in my life as kind of the chess moves after your accident. So what are some things that, like, what are some ways that your life was preparing you for life after the accident that you didn't notice until the accident?
Oh gosh. I mean, I could tell story after story on that. I mean, I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. And I really believe that just like you said, there are things that will prepare us for the challenges that come ahead of us. And one of those, I mean, starting from the very beginning, I feel like I'm spoiled with the parents that I have. My dad, being a Major League Baseball player, knew what it took to be the best, and he expected nothing less than that from his children. You know, he wanted us to be the best and wanted us to work hard for that and never settle for anything that wasn't first place or wasn't the best there. And then I'll tell you about my mom. You know, she was definitely the person that even if we didn't win, she would tell us we still had value. You know, that's not where our value came from. And I say the combination of them created, there's 6 kids in my family, you know, created 6 powerhouses of children, because that was our mentality. And then on top of that, put the faith that goes into that, you know, to be raised in a Christian household that we know that God looks out for us and we have purposes to serve. I think that all of that together is just the beginning of how I was prepared for where I'm at. But I don't know. I don't know what other stories. I could tell so many stories, even just in the horse world or little things that happened before. But I definitely know that I was getting set up to be ready for this.
Yeah, it's one of the most, I don't know if it's a positive thing, but whenever I see someone going through a challenge, one of the things that's really easy for me is to look and find those moves before that they didn't know was setting them up for this. And it's like a gift that I have. And I think it helps a lot with mindset to know that while this was something that to society was life-changing, devastating, all of these words that they use, that these things are kind of what sets us on the path we're supposed to go on. And I know you've done a lot of work on like mindset and being able to refigure that situation. And so talk a little bit about that, because I think in agriculture, right, things happen all the time, whether it be accidents or illness or we lost a lease, you know, a lot of things out of our control, but we can control some part of it. So how do you control the pieces you can control?
You know, that's such a big piece, just even in the mental part of it altogether, is recognizing that you can control some things. You know, I feel like when the world is spinning at what we would say out of control is when you feel like you've lost all the power that you have. And for me, I'm always like, okay, you know, when I do get upset and frustrated because there are things that are out of my control and things that I can't choose on, you know, I try to pick, okay, what can I, as in, you know, how am I going to feel about today? Some days I tell people my lap is round and I swear. So what that means is like that anything I sit on my lap is going to fall off, right? I feel like the universe is just trying to make me mad that day. And I will literally say out loud, universe, you will not win today. You will not make me mad today. Like, it's not going to work. And just even saying that out loud, like as silly as it is, I'm taking my power, you know, like I'm empowering myself to be like, Amberly, you're in control of this. You're in charge of this. Like, you're not going to allow this to make you upset today. And that's what you got to do, you know? And every day I always pick, I've got to do something that makes me happy. Something that makes my heart happy. And it can be, if I'm going to the CrossFit that day, sometimes that knocks it off. Let's get real. Exercise every day doesn't make you happy, but some days it makes my heart happy. Like, that works, you know? And then other days it's okay. I'm going to swing by and get my coffee today. Like, that's going to make me happy today. Other days it's getting on my horse. Other, you know, I feel like you have to find something every day that makes your heart happy and consciously do that, because you can control that part and you can fill your life with happiness if you choose to. So that's one of the things that I feel like I do just every day as a small piece of, you know, choosing happy and choosing things that will make your heart be happy and filling yourself up.
Are you looking for a way to make positive steps towards your goals and have a community to support you on your journey? The Cattlemen U Collective is our revamped online membership community for ranch women to connect and learn ranch skills. We will be covering our six pillar topics: money, cattle, relationships, home, faith, and cooking each month. The collective is perfect for the ranch woman who is yearning for community that will meet her where she's at and challenge her to reach new, bigger goals. You can join as a monthly member today at the link down below.
Was getting back on a horse something that you used to kind of motivate yourself when you were in the trenches?
Yeah, I mean, I would say yeah, because I would say that, you know, I knew that being on a horse is where my soul is at peace, and it has been like that my whole life. And so, I mean, that really can be a big part of, okay, like today getting on that horse was what pulled me kind of back to being all right. I felt like everything else was crashing and everything else wasn't going the way that I planned, but that horse and being able to center yourself there. Yeah, absolutely. That has been a piece of bringing me back to feeling okay multiple times.
And I think what we see on social media is probably the reward of all your hard work, right? The writing and all of that. Talk a little bit about what it took for you to get to the spot that you were able to ride and kind of what happened in, you know, that image that you see about the iceberg, right? We see above the water. What happened below the water? Kind of all of that challenging work that you did to get you to the spot where you could ride.
Oh yeah. That, I mean, it's the emotional side of it. And it's like that in general in a wheelchair, to be quite honest. When you get put in a chair, I mean, I think your first thought is, gosh, it must be hard not to walk. And it's like, That is the tip, right? That is the tip of the iceberg, because that just the physical concept of being able to stand up is hard, but the emotional stuff and the stuff you lose control over and the lack of ability and all, and it's just, there's so much more that goes along with that. And so the emotional side of, like, first having to question myself of, okay, so who am I? I mean, what if I can't get back on a horse? Am I still me? Am I still Amberly? Am I still a girl that rodeos? Am I still a barrel racer? Am I still a cowgirl? Like, who am I? You know, I feel like a part of myself is based in my horses. And so all the way down to the nitty gritty of it, I had to really decide who I was. And what if I didn't get back on? Could I even still like myself? And there was a spot that I took a 9-month gap without my horses. And I think that that was really a big part of that concept, you know? So there was the 4 months before I got on, and that wasn't even as hard, because in that part, I just kept telling myself, if I get back on it, that's not going to change, right? That's going to be fine. My horses will never be changed. Will never be different. I'm going to get back on. I just kept thinking it was like going to be like this magic that if I just sat on my horse, which I get is unrealistic and sounds crazy when I say it, but it's what I did. It's definitely what I did. I just thought that that would fix everything, and it didn't, which then that's where it really got harder as far as the life with my horses, because then I was like, okay, so now I have no balance. I can't use my legs. I can't feel my horse around my legs. I'm going to need help to do this. I no longer can just go out there and do it by myself. You know, it was like all of those things just started piling up from that first time I got back on. And it was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of crying, a lot of yelling, a lot of, this is not fair. This is not what I planned on. We put the pieces of the saddle together. I got back on through the summer, and it felt better. You know, it felt better, but that then it was where the real mental aspects come in that I tell you about, as far as, what if I can't do this the same? You know, am I still okay with that? Do I still love this? And I took 9 months without him. And I feel like I spent that time trying to just discover who I was now and what value I had and who I could be if I wasn't a cowgirl. And then after that, I got back on and all the pieces came together. But yeah, I mean, ups and downs, and you have to expect those. You think you get one piece figured out, you climbed one mountain, you turn around and there's two more, you know, just the way it fills out.
And I think in agriculture, one of the things you talked about is like identifying as, you know, what you thought maybe you couldn't do anymore. So you were someone who was a horseback rider and you, like, you know, all of these things. And in agriculture, we do that a lot. I think part of the reason why we don't change is because we will say, well, I'm a rancher, and so I have to ranch. And it's like, well, can you ranch, but can it look different? Or does ranching have to look like ranching looks for everyone else in the world? And we kind of pigeonhole ourselves into these roles, into these positions that maybe don't serve us anymore. And that's really what you described, is like having your identity tied up in something that didn't look the same anymore. And the struggle to, like, find your identity. And of course, as believers, we believe our identity is in Christ, but kind of tweaking that identity to making it fit what is happening in the moment.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely what it is. And let's get real, in our lifestyles, people are a little more stubborn even, right? And so it's like they paint the picture of, if it doesn't look like this, then it's not real. Or if it doesn't look like this, then I'm not a rancher. If it doesn't look like this, I'm not a cowgirl. If it doesn't look like, and it's like, that's not true. That's really not true. You know, that picture can look incredibly different from one person to the next, and you still can be what you want to be.
Yeah. It's that conversation, right, with that Courtney D. Hoff is having right now on social media. I'm not sure if you follow her, but where people are saying she can't be a cowgirl because she has a town job. And just, what does it look like to be involved in the agriculture industry, and how is each one of our roles so vital yet look so different? And one of the things I know you do a ton of is motivational speaking. And I think people immediately wouldn't imagine a motivational speaker being involved in agriculture, because that is not an identity that a lot of people have tied with agriculture. And so it's, we get to kind of set the stage. We get to do things that work in our, the work for us, even if they do look a little different.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And I'll tell you, like, you know, when I very first started speaking, I used to not dress up, but like didn't dress like a cowgirl. And I don't know at what point, I really would have to think about it. But at one point I was like, what am I doing? I'm gonna wear my cowboy hat. Like, this is who I am to go and speak. So now when I speak, I wear my Western attire that I would wear to a rodeo, because truly that is part of who I am. You know, that is my image. And I feel so much more comfortable. Not that I can't dress up here and there, right? Cowgirls can dress up. That's the whole point. You can be a cowgirl and be dressed up. And not that I can't do that, but I was like, you know what? A part of my story is being this cowgirl and this barrel racer. And I want to be able to portray that, not just in the words, but even show in what I wear. And so, yeah, now that's what I wear on the outside. And it feels more at home to me.
This summer, we are hosting our first She's a Hand Ranch Camp weekends. During these three-day events, we will be inviting women and men to Montana to learn or brush up on their cattle handling skills. Each weekend, we'll focus on specific skills such as low-stress cattle handling, cattle reproduction, shoot work, and starting your cattle business. Much like our standard ranch camps, we will be creating a low-stress environment where you can ask all your questions and get hands-on experience with cattle. To learn more about the dates and skills learned at each ranch camp weekend, visit cattlemanulive.com/ranch-camp-weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. What is something that you wish every person who's in the trenches knows that you know being on the other side?
Oh gosh, the first thing that comes to my mind is that it's okay to not be okay. So if you feel like you're in a spot that it's not fair, or you're scared, or you're upset, or you're depressed, or you're anxious, or any of those things, it's okay to not be okay. You know, don't feel like that makes you weak or incapable or, you know, lesser than because you're feeling those emotions. I think our world tries to tell us that if you're in that spot, you know, something could be wrong with you, like you messed up somewhere, and that you're not allowed to ask for help because, God forbid, if you ask for help, that must mean you're weak, right? Because you can't do it by yourself. So first and foremost, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to ask for help to get out of there, because there are people around you that want to help you and support you and believe in you and rely on you and want to be you. I mean, any of those things. And so recognize that wherever you are, it's not wrong. You're not wrong where you are. But can you improve? Absolutely. Can you find the light? 100%. Ask for help to get there. Set some goals. Find some accomplishments. Like I said, accomplish something every day. Find the smallest goal, something that makes your heart happy, something that you can accomplish every day so that you can feel that victory. And you can combine and continue to build that so it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you can wake up again and you go, I'm okay today. You know, I feel better and I feel accomplished and I know where I'm going and I have a vision, and it doesn't happen overnight, but you can get there.
Yeah. And I think in agriculture right now, we know there's such a mental health struggle and it feels shameful to not be okay. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's, the industry has said that you can't need help. And that you should be able to do this on your own. And it shouldn't be that challenging. And all of these things that I just don't feel is accurate.
Oh, that's what I mean. I think, especially in our industry, or even in my, you know, the Western lifestyle in general, or ranching industry, the whole part where it's like the rough and tough, right? Like you're tough and you can handle it. You know, it's like that image. People don't want to don't want to admit or even ask, like, hey, I actually need some help here, or hey, I'm struggling, or and I'm just telling you, it's all right.
Yeah, that's such a great mission. And I think more people need to hear it, whether they're dealing with, you know, just what some people might view as something small or something like yours, where it's completely life-changing. Like, we are the only ones that get to say how big something is in our life. And I think we need a reminder that not only can it be, you know, life-changing physically like yours was, but things that happen on the day-to-day can have big impacts. And it's okay to request help. It's okay to need, you know, therapy or support or call a neighbor. Like, that needs to be the norm in agriculture. And it's starting to get there, but it's still really not.
Yeah, I would say that's exactly what I'd say. It's starting to get there. It's starting to get there. And it's making progress. So at least that's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk a little bit about what you're up to, like, in the future. What are some fun things you have planned?
Well, I'm still speaking a lot. So I'm gone a lot getting to speak, which I absolutely love. I didn't know if there would be anything I loved as much as being on the back of a horse. And I love getting to travel around and share my story. So I have lots of speaking. I have clinics coming up, which I started those because I felt like, you know, there were kids out there that I wanted them to be able to, once again, not only hear, but see that you can overcome hard things and you can continue to work for what you love. And then, of course, rodeo season. We're getting ready for that. My horse is getting legged up. And rodeo season will start in April with a couple, and then it really will pick up in May. So, I mean, those are the fun things. I'm working on writing a second book. I've written a children's book that came out a couple years ago. But I'm working on writing another book, so I'll be excited when I can get that out and finished. I don't know. That was the first things that come to my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. You are doing a lot. And it's in that season where you really get to impact people. And so we need all the impacts we can get. You're pretty active on social media. What social media are you the most active on?
Well, I try to be good about Instagram and Facebook. I'm obviously probably the best at those. I know the kids these days have a million other apps and things that they do, but it is hard to keep up with all those things. I guess I'm trying to be good about TikTok too. So my Instagram and my feeds automatically go to Twitter. I actually don't even know my Twitter login, but luckily they go to my Twitter. So at least it's posting. But I would say, like, my Instagram, my Facebook, I answer messages on both of those. You know, I try to keep up on that. I have my TikTok that goes through YouTube, but I need to be better about that. I used to be good about posting those, but really probably those other three is where people can follow me the most as far as staying up to date.
Yeah. Someone the other day said, hey, I sent you a Snapchat. I'm like, a Snapchat? I don't have Snapchat notifications on. I was like, I don't know. We're supposed to check that still all the time.
Oh yeah. Snapchat. The only people on my Snapchat is my family. I mean, there's other people on there, but the only people I reply to, I would say, is on my family and Snapchat.
Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay, perfect. I have a set of rapid fire questions for you to round out the episode. What is your favorite cut of steak and how do you like it cooked?
Oh, my favorite steak is a ribeye and I like it cooked medium.
Perfect. Okay. What is an ag industry topic that you think needs talked about more in mainstream media?
I think that it needs to just be talked about where our food actually comes from. I think that people and what it takes to grow the amount of food that we are growing. I know people think that everything needs to be raw and organic and never be touched by anything, but gosh dang, the reason we have come this far in agriculture is because of the modern technologies that we use to get there.
Absolutely. What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Oh, the best piece of advice I would say is from my mom. And it was when I was on bed rest at one point for 5 months. And I told her today's not my day. And she said, that is okay, but tomorrow can be.
Oh, I love that. Okay. And last, it's kind of a fun little question, but do you have a non-career dream job? Do you ever drive around and say, like, man, it would be fun to do this?
A non-career dream job. You know, when my legs work again, I think it would be so fun to be a Disney princess. Because you make so many people happy when you get to do that. I can't do it for my chair. There's not a Disney princess that lives in a chair right now. So obviously they wouldn't know I was a real princess. But if I, my, when my legs could be working, I think I could go be a Disney princess and be very happy with that.
Okay, two things. One, we need a Disney princess who's in a chair. I will see if I can get Disney on that.
Set that up, will you?
Yeah, I'll do that. Two, I think that sounds like such a fun job. Just to bring joy and to see, you know, kids experiencing the magic and all of that, I think is really cool. So I love that. Those were great answers. We will be sure to put all of your contact information. Well, not your personal phone number, but you know what I mean? All of your social media and everything in the show notes so people can reach out and follow you. And I just loved this conversation. You're such an inspiration. So thank you so much for taking some time with me today.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course.
Thanks again for listening to the Cattle Menu podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. We are thankful to have you in your community. Like always, remember, the grass is greener where you water it.